are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gautzoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees handle, which is Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We also have an Instagram account at Locked On Yankees, all one word, so please follow, like, comment, and do what you do on Instagram. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We've reached the end of another week. It's Friday already. I'll have all the spring training news and notes you need, including notes on Gerrit Cole's performance yesterday, Robinson Chirinos' wrist, which was injured on Wednesday. I will also have updates on how Jameson Taillon did today, and part three of my conversation with Kevin Weiss of Locked On Rays, which is part three and the conclusion of my conversation with Kevin. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. That's right. I'm starting with an injury update because this is a Yankees podcast and they can't even go 24 hours with some sort of injury. If you watched the game on Wednesday night, you saw Robinson Chirinos get hit in the wrist. It is fractured. Now, this isn't as catastrophic as it would be if a non-bench player was hit in the wrist. I could tell something was really wrong when he got hit just by his reaction and the sound that the ball made. And the wrist is really, that's one of the worst places to get hit because of all the different parts of your arm and your hand joining in that one spot. So yeah, he'll be out a while. Luke Voit, on the other hand, who was experiencing knee issues, seems to be feeling better. Although I saw a tweet from David Lennon of Newsday that said that the knee that he was having an issue with is feeling better, but that he cut his other knee sliding into a base. So can these guys just please be careful? Seriously, just come on. Yesterday, Gerrit Cole pitched three innings. He scattered three hits, struck out five, issued a walk, and 38 of his 50 pitches were strikes. Not too shabby. He says he is gearing up for opening day and that so is his father, because his father, who turned him into a Yankee fan when he was a kid, still hasn't been able to see him pitch in pinstripes because of the whole no people being in the stands thing last season. And Gerrit Cole told reporters that his father said, if they don't let us in for opening day, I'm just going to put the radio on outside the gate, sit there and listen. And then Cole joked, I think we can probably get you in. This is more of what Cole had to say after his performance yesterday afternoon.
I'm pleased with the effort level relative to how the stuff's coming out. And, you know, there's a few sprayed sequences, but for the most part, I had three pitches pretty much going where we wanted them to. So that's pretty nice. And, you know, so physically great. And I got three going. So that's pretty good. Luckily, I'm here for a while, so, you know, I can settle in this year at this point. I think last year, a lot of the challenges was trying to, there wasn't a lot of, I didn't think we had a lot of hope, like, you know, as a society and all, it was just like, you know, you kept hearing about the second wave and all this stuff. And so I think in general, there's more hope that restrictions will loosen, things will get better, people will get the medicine they need to stay healthy. And so that certainly permeates through the clubhouse. I mean, we, like you said, we're human beings too. So, you know, we have lives outside of here. And so I think we feel that too. Last year, you know, a combination of like, you know, totally different schedule, totally different way to prepare, totally different, like I guess daily routine, right? Because you got to come in and you got to spit and you got to put a thing on and then you got to put a mask on, you know. And so, and I'm trying to find my way through the clubhouse. So, but this year generally more hope, and so, and more familiarity with putting your mask on and doing the testing and the tracking and the whatever. So, and the season being normal, like from a schedule standpoint, I think is refreshing. It's like that's normal to us, you know? So at least, you know, we got that and it's like, okay, I've been in spring training. I've been in this position, like this is my 10th year, you know, it's not any different. It's not like last year where it's like completely different. So I think that's probably contributing. And I think hope is probably contributing and familiarity.
Right now, the Yankees are taking on the Tigers. And last I checked, it was 4-1 in the eighth. Let me just double check that. Jameson Taillon pitched 2 2/3 scoreless innings and had 4 strikeouts over those 2 2/3 innings. 4-1, bottom of the eighth, 2 outs, a runner on second. And just in case you wanted to know how the Yankees scored, Tyler Wade hit a sac fly to make it 1-0. Brett Gardner hit a single to make it 2-0, and then Rob Brantley hit a 2-run home run just now in the top of the eighth to make it 4-1. Luis Severino threw off a mound for the first time since his Tommy John surgery, and everything went well.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
It was the first time Severino had thrown off a mound since February 27th, 2020. Aaron Boone said that Severino threw 20 pitches, all fastballs, during a bullpen session on Tuesday, although the news came out yesterday. But anyway, wow, I just rhymed. Tuesday, yesterday, anyway. Boone said, it was a lot of fun for me to get over there on Tuesday morning to be there to see that first one and just see how he's moving around, Boone told reporters before yesterday's exhibition game in Clearwater. He said there's just a confidence in that he's kind of exuding in his health, just watching him play catch, the way his body is, the kind of shape he's in, and the free and easy way he's throwing. He was really efficient the other day, really kind of throwing it exactly where he wanted. He was coming out hot. We almost said, hey, back off a little bit. It's coming out a little too well. And he wasn't working for it necessarily. So really encouraged about where he's at to this point. I'm not going to get my hopes up too much, but that's a good report. Let's just hope that there aren't any setbacks and the Yankees can get Severino back by June, July. It'll be kind of like they're making a trade. In a moment, I'll be talking about Gleyber Torres, who is looking toward having a big 2021. Wouldn't that be nice? But first, let's talk about betting online, because BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing, and BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, on the one-year anniversary of the NBA shutting down due to COVID, an NCAA team is forced out of the tournament due to a positive test. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. Breaking news just came across the wire, aka Twitter. Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez broke up. I kind of saw that coming. I could see it. On Instagram, something was happening. They were not together. While she was in the Dominican Republic shooting a movie, and he was still in Miami. I know he has businesses and stuff, but it seems kind of odd since he's Dominican that he wasn't in the Dominican Republic. But anyway, so that happened. That's too bad. Earlier in the show, when I played Gerrit Cole's comments about COVID and how it affected last season, this ties in with Gleyber Torres talking about having an improved 2021. He mentioned that he had issues last season finding places to work out between spring training and summer camp. He believes that that probably contributed to his injuries that he suffered last August. He hurt his left quad and his left hamstring. So, you know, what Cole was saying, last year was just such an odd year between spring training stopping, them not knowing when they were going to come back. Then they announced they're going to come back, but it's not the same amount of time getting ready for the season. And, you know, you would hope that most of these guys were able to work out, but maybe someone like Labor Torres really couldn't find a place to do his kind of workouts that he does to get ready for the season with everything closed because of COVID-19. So hopefully this season will be 162. Everyone will be COVID-free. And if they're not, they'll be quarantined and kept away from everyone. I saw that there were a bunch of tests last week distributed throughout MLB, and there were only two positive tests. So hopefully everything is getting better, and that'll help Gleyber Torres in 2021. He said earlier today, "It's really important to me to be in really good shape. This year we play 162. Personally, I just want to play all the games and be healthy all year. That is how I'll help my team in any opportunity I have. So far, I feel really good." He is 6-for-15 with a double and 2 home runs so far in the spring. And he has impressed the Yankees coaching staff upon his arrival. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we had a strong Gleyber Torres offensive year, you know, hearkening back to 2019? We see a bounce back year from Gary Sanchez. Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge play more than, I don't know, maybe 25 games together. You know, 2021 has a chance to be a good year for the Yankees if everyone can stay healthy. I keep saying if because, you know, as I opened the show, I was telling you about injuries. Luckily, it was none of the players I just mentioned. DJ LeMahieu said about Torres, he looks good. He looks focused. He's been locking in on the early work defense. His swing looks good. He just seems very focused this year. That's kind of what I expected from him. I definitely think Gleyber looks ready to go and ready to get after it again. Torres has been working with bench coach Carlos Mendoza on the fundamentals of playing shortstop and making routine plays. Torres said, "I'm working really hard every day. I'm so happy to figure out a few things on my defense. Every practice, every day, I've been working with Mendy to fix all the little things I was working on during the offseason. I feel good. I feel happy. I feel more confident right now. Now I'll just try to play my best." So the Yankees won their game today 4-2. The Tigers scored one run in the bottom of the ninth to make it 4-2. So Jameson Taillon got the win. As I said, he pitched 2 2/3. He gave up 2 hits. He struck out 4. He also walked 3. Let's see. Anyone else of note? No. At least not pitching-wise. And batting-wise, Gary Sanchez was 0-for-3 with a strikeout. He left 2 on base. Gardner was 1-for-3. Jay Bruce was 1-for-2. Higashioka was the DH. He was 1-for-3. And I think that's it. Oh, Tauchman had a hit. Tomorrow, the Yankees will be taking on the Pirates at Steinbrenner Field. It's a 1:05 start. I don't know if it's on TV, but Corey Kluber will be pitching for the Yankees. I would like for it to be on the TV because I would like to see Corey Kluber in action. Oh, hey, it's on YES tomorrow. And WFAN. And MLB Network, although not live on MLB Network. So if you're not home at 1:05, you'll be able to watch the game later in the day without having to DVR it on YES. So there you go. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys know, but Michael Kay and John Sterling will be broadcasting together this Monday and I believe next Monday. They're doing 2 games together. They're bringing the band back together. That should be interesting to hear Sterling and Kay together again because it's been a while. It's been a really long time since they've done a game together. Like I've said before, one of my favorite Michael Kay calls is from the days of when he was still on the radio with Sterling during the 2000 ALCS when he yelled, "Get your tokens ready. You might be boarding the subway." So yeah, if you want a little bit of nostalgia, you know, maybe for some of you it's your childhood, others it's our young adulthood, but you get to listen to Sterling and Kay once again. In a moment, part 3 and the conclusion of my conversation with Kevin Weiss of Locked On Rays. But first, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar. All bars are 100% chocolate. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is between the Churro Puff and Cookies and Cream. I've had Cookies and Cream. I have not had Churro Puff. But my goodness, that sounds really good. Go to BuiltBar.com or Built_bar on Twitter to vote. And while you're at BuiltBar.com, you might as well order some Built Bars. Remember, use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best-tasting protein bar. Fantasy baseball addicts, you now have a new resource to help give you an advantage in your leagues. Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Season-long fantasy, Dynasty Leagues, DFS, Locked On Fantasy Baseball covers it all. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get podcasts. Okay, I don't know if you could hear me trying not to laugh during that live read, but I don't know why this happens to me, but another one of my co-hosts said that it happens to him too, so I'm glad it's not just me. But for some reason, anytime I see the word analyst, I want to say analysis. I don't know why. But that's what happens with my mouth. So that's why I was giggling during that live read. I just wanted to let you know. So anyway, here is part three of my conversation with Kevin Weiss of Locked On Rays. I ask him a burning question that all Yankee fans are wondering right off the bat. So without further ado, here's part three.
Are there any other Rays questions you have? Oh, or that's yes. Just about shorted up? Yes.
One more. That pain in the ass, Randy Arozarena, what do you see from him in 2021?
Another great question. Look, I don't think he's going to replicate over the course of 162 what he did in that slate of regular season games and postseason games, but I definitely think he's a front runner for AL Rookie of the Year. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him finish the year if he stays healthy. You know, as a 2020 guy, maybe a 25-25 guy, look, he's not going to hit 340. He's not going to hit 40-plus bombs. I don't want to say what he did last year was a fluke. He absolutely did it, and he has the athleticism and the bat speed and the skill set. But, again, when you're that grind of playing every day and you have major league pitchers, they've got a little bit of a book on you now. They're going to try to attack you differently. They're probably not going to throw you as many fastballs. They're going to try to tie you up with off speed and breaking stuff. And they just may flat out decide not to pitch to you or not pitch as aggressively to you as they did in the past. So I think that's going to have to be something that is considered. And going through the slumps and experiencing failure, that's something he really never did right, when he got that call to the majors. So how does he recover from that? I mean, we've seen with other race players on this roster, Austin Meadows, Brandon Lau, great players in their own right, but they definitely have had their string of slumps where it's like for 1 month, this guy isn't the same person. He's not doing anything. Or they go for like a 2-for-45 slump. Does Randy Arozarena do that? If he does, how does he recover? And I think that's going to be a big thing for him going forward. I fully expect him, like if I was to put out maybe a conservative-ish stat line, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he hits 270, 280, gives you 25 home runs, 20 stolen bases, and drives however many runs in and gets however many runs either. Like he is, I think, a really, really fun talent to watch. And he's probably going to be one of the few guys that'll be on the Rays roster within the next 4 or 5 years, because even at his age, 26 years old, like he has a lot of team control underneath him. So he could be a key middle of the order bat for years and years to come, but it's definitely, I don't think, going to be as easy for him in 2021 as it was in 2020. Then again, though, he did basically have COVID. He was constrained to his apartment doing push-ups, eating chicken and rice, and he hit major league pitching literally just walking out of bed. So I could be surprised by anything. He could seemingly do anything at this point, but he definitely is going to be, I think, a dangerous player, but he's not going to be that It was just video game stupid numbers that we saw put up last year. And that's the other thing too, is did the success go to his head, and how does he deal with that and adjust to that? And I think all that has to be considered, but I still think he's going to be a really, really good player. And hopefully by the end of his career, he has a couple all-star appearances and proves the Cardinals wrong. It certainly would be the first time the Cardinals have let a good player go or not valued a player correctly. I think Luke Voit is one of them.
I mean, we have
Tommy
Voit.
Pham, Alcantara. Yeah, a lot of guys the that thing. They just, they I really don't get
nothing.
It. Yeah, you think about
the league
how good
in
the
home
Cardinals
runs last
be.
Year. I mean, I know it was a shortened year, but Luke Voit could barely walk and he was hitting.
Yeah, what Luke Voit was able to do was just insane. That's another guy though, I wonder. He should do some yoga. Although what he's doing seems to be working for him. He's hitting the crap out of the ball, so who knows.
Yeah, I joked all last season, especially toward the end, because I mean, my God, he was barely walking. Although he said he felt better when he was running around the bases than when he was just standing there. That's when the pain was really bad. But he was looking like late career Mickey Mantle rounding the bases because he could barely step on his foot. It was unbelievable what he was able to do. And we were talking about the whole will Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton be on the field long enough together? And I think we all got a glimpse of what Giancarlo Stanton can do in the playoffs when he's healthy. He was hitting the crap out of the ball, you know, and it was, at least for Yankee fans, it was like, oh, this is what it's like having him in the playoffs. This is actually nice. Let's see this more often.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of, if you're any other team, should maybe be concerned about is if all those guys are on the same page and healthy, like Judge, Stanton, Voit, you add Frazier to the mix.
If Gleyber has a bounce back year, because Gleyber, yeah, you know, had a bit of trouble last season and he admits that he wasn't quite in shape. If Gary Sanchez comes back and has a good year. And, you know, it's interesting with the Arozarena stuff that you were talking about. By the way, I was nodding during the entire time that you were talking about him because I was agreeing with everything you said with regards to how pitchers are going to pitch to him, how it'll be intriguing to see how he reacts to a full season. Because basically for him, it was like when a rookie is called up and they have those like final, you know, month and a half, month, and they explode onto the scene, and then you get to see the next year how they react to a full season, how they react to getting into a slump. Every player slumps. Even players in their best seasons have a period of time when they're not hitting the ball, and then they start hitting the ball again. So it's just funny, as you were talking about him, I'm literally the entire time you were talking about him, I was sitting here nodding with you like, yep, yes, I agree totally, yes.
No, that's great. And yeah, it's I mean, it's going to be interesting because this Rays, like, finding enough playing time for all these outfielders too. And again, something always pops up. Somebody gets injured and you're like, how are we going to find playing time for all these guys? And then before you know it, three guys are down and it's like, well, do we have enough guys that can fill all these spots? But they do have Kiermaier seemingly healthy. Arozarena, you add him to the mix, of course. Manny Margot, Austin Meadows, that's four guys alone. They've got to work in Yoshi Tsutsugo as well. Josh Lowe's on the come up. I mean, there's a Brett Phillips may make the opening day roster. There's only 26 spots and only so many outfield spots. And not saying that Randy Arozarena is the odd man out. He certainly is going to play a big part on this team, but he might at times be utilized as a DH or might get a day off against certain righties. It just kind of all depends how they want to work it out. I think they're going to try to definitely, if possible, balance the workload between everybody on the team going forward. So, Stacy, I guess that just about does it. That wraps up the crossover. I didn't know. I know you're feeling on, I guess, predictions. I didn't know if you wanted to throw one out for the Yankees or might have to save that for another time, or we just wait until the end of 2021, I should say.
I just, there are some years where I feel comfortable making predictions. And I'm usually right on the money, which is really scary. I've had a couple of years where I've guessed exactly what the win-loss record was going to be at the end of the season. I did it in 2014 when I said they were going to be 84 and 78. And I wrote that in an article on ESPN and had so many people yelling at me. And then when they finished 84 and 78, I was like, I told you they weren't going to be that good this year. Why wouldn't you listen to me? This season is all about health, like the last three seasons. I can't predict how they're going to be because, you know, 2019, they had, 31 guys on the IL, and they still won 103 games. So you never know what's going to happen. Do I see the Yankees winning the division? Yes. If they stay healthy, I can see them winning the division. I'll say that much.
Very good. Yeah, it would not surprise me in the least, for sure. I guess that, hey, I might have to come to you more often for predictions and go to betonline.ag. That might be the way to go and put some futures bets on it if you're that dead on with the win-loss predictions and such.
And in 1997, April 20th, 1997, I will never forget this. I was up at school on the phone with my dad. We were talking about baseball and, you know, the Yankees had just won in 96. And he was like, so what do you see happening at the end of the season? I said, the Marlins are going to win the World Series. And he's like, what? He goes, you think they're going to beat the Braves and then win in the World Series? I said, yes, the Marlins are going to win the World Series.
Okay, who wins the World Series then in 2021? I got to know this. Got to put it on record.
I got to wait till like more like April, a couple of weeks in when I see how the teams are doing, that's when I'll be able to tell you.
Okay. Not the Marlins though, right? Hopefully.
No.
All right. Very good.
So to recap, the Yankees won their game today 4-2. Jameson Taillon had a pretty strong outing, 4 strikeouts, 3 walks, but 2 2/3 innings. Gerrit Cole had a strong outing yesterday. Robinson Chirinos' wrist is broken, Luke Voit's knee is feeling better, and Corey Kluber is playing tomorrow against the Pirates. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Fantasy Baseball. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Friday, enjoy the weekend, and I will talk to you all on Monday.